But with that sentience came a desire to be free. This is the imaginary world of Panga from A Psalm for the Wild-Built, a world which imagines what would happen if humans detached from industrialization and moved instead towards a community-centered world. Panga's history, outlined in the opening pages of the book, was known as the factory age, where robots were created and used for every aspect of human life and society. The end of their factory age brought with it an agreement between humans and robots, a parting promise, which allowed robots to retreat into their own forest and be free from the demands of human labor. Our story, A Psalm for the Wild-Built, begins hundreds of years after the parting promise, following the story of a simple monk named Sibling Dex. Dex, one night, while trying to fall asleep in their city-dwelling monastery, had a deep desire to hear crickets. But after the factory age wiped out most of wildlife, the crickets could only be heard in the deepest parts of the forest. But Dex just could not stop thinking about this, and so took this desire as an internal sign that they needed to get out of the city and become a tea monk. In Panga, a tea monk is someone who travels around the continent offering tea and emotional support to the surrounding villages. Each place Dex stopped, they would hear someone's story, would craft the perfect tea for their needs, and then would offer either a listening ear or a quiet place for them to drink their tea. Now, honestly, as an aside, this sounds like a dream job for me as a chaplain who really loves tea. But currently, this is not a job in the market of chaplaincy. So years passed, and our friend Sibling Dex became one of the best tea monks in Panga, but still yearned for something more and began to long for the crickets again, imagining themselves at the old monastery where the last crickets were rumored to be. So one day they took their wagon off the beaten path and rode into the woods alone. Or at least that was the plan. You can imagine Dex's surprise when, as they were stepping out of their wagon's shower, towel in hand, they saw a 7-foot-tall, metal-plated, boxy-headed robot walk briskly out of the woods towards them. "Hello, my name is Mosscap," the robot said and extended a hand. Dex was shocked, stunned into silence, their food burning inside, their hair still wet, a million thoughts at once. But this unlikely meeting was really the beginning of an incredible journey. Now, eventually, Mosscap made Dex a little more at ease and explained that it was just sent on behalf of the robots to just check in, to see how the humans were doing hundreds of years later. It became clear that Mosscap and Dex actually had much they could gain from each other. Mosscap knew where the crickets were, and Dex could show Mosscap what modern humans were like. So they decided to take their two journeys together. And as they did so, Dex began to see the world through Mosscap's eyes. The robot was enamored with everything in nature and thought it was of the most importance to stop and admire it. Mosscap explained to Dex that it was a type of robot called Wild-Built, which means that its existence is made up of the parts of other robots who broke down and then were combined together to create a new robot. It has only ever existed freely in the wild, and is named Mosscap after the first type of mushroom it saw when it opened its eyes.
Yeah.
What a naming convention, right? For Dex, the robot's insistence on observing everything, including Sibling Dex himself, was in stark contrast to their own busy life. Before they met Mosscap, they were feeling pressured by the demands of the many towns they visited as a tea monk. In every place, they would stop, set up tea, and talk with everyone and anyone who came up about their problems. There were expectations of them and their time everywhere they went. And eventually, Dex began to ask, "Am I doing enough?" And why isn't this enough? Now, back here in present day Wisconsin, we have just experienced the end of the holiday bustle and the beginning of a new year. This time of year, you know, may have been overwhelming or challenging for us for a plethora of reasons, be it hustle and bustle of family gatherings, or simply the pain of having a lack thereof. We may have been overwhelmed by the bright lights of commercialism, pressuring us to buy the best, the absolute best of gifts, or the stress of not having the money to do so. All of this leads right into the time of New Year's resolution, self-improvement messaging, being thrown back into the grind of work in its many forms. I know for me, this time of year can be one where it is hard to feel like I am doing enough. Hard to feel that I am enough. In fact, there are many times year round where I ask myself those questions. In a culture which values productivity as our sense of self, how do we reclaim our peace? In Atlanta, Georgia, Trisha Hersey created the organization, the Knack Ministry, for just this purpose. Through workshops, community organizing, performance art, and a strong social media presence, the Knack Ministry shares the good news of the liberating power of Knacks. In her own words, we believe rest is a form of resistance and name sleep deprivation as a racial and social justice issue. The self-proclaimed Knack Bishop, Trisha Hersey, emphasizes the importance of rest for rest's sake, and this form of self-love as a liberating force. Resting gives us the opportunity to engage in our imagination, one of our gifts as humans. In her book, Rest as Resistance, A Manifesto, she leads the reader through a journey to reclaiming your rest from the grind culture. I would actually like to take a moment right now to share one of her centering exercises from her book, if you'd like to join me. I invite you, you know, to take a moment to center yourself, to get comfortable in your seat, and to rest your gaze or close your eyes as is comfortable. Imagine a world without oppression. Take more time here. Visualize softness. Breathe deep. Envision a world centered in justice. And stay here. Welcome to your dream space, a download, a daydream. Stay here. Stay in rest. Stay in the dream space. Our collective rest will save us. You are enough. Our dreams are enough. This is imagination work. A portal opens when we slow down. You can rest. You may stay in your dream space for as long as you'd like in today's service. This is the feeling of the liberating power of rest. This here is the space where Nat Bishop Hersey guides her ministry, reclaiming that which has been taken away. A space where our purpose and our value are clear, that we are enough when we rest. There are four tenets of the Nat ministry. First, rest is a form of resistance because it disrupts and pushes back against capitalism and white supremacy. Second, our bodies are a site of liberation. Third, naps provide a portal to imagine, to invent, and to heal. And fourth, our dream space has been stolen and we want it back. And we will reclaim it via rest. So much of our world is focused on what we produce. Our own sense of purpose can be hinged upon what we are doing. But Hersey pushes back against that narrative, saying that it is okay to rest. And it is an act of resistance and liberating love to do so. In the world of Panga, the robots were the embodiment of this mentality, liberating themselves from the grind to retreat into a space of rest, imagination, and healing. After literally gaining sentience as machines that were created solely to serve and produce, they realized that the culture of the grind was oppressing them. When they left for the forest, they did so to be free and to observe instead of produce. To simply be. To rest when they wanted to rest. To explore when they wanted to explore. To envision and create their own society and world. The world of the wild built. A world of loving themselves and the world around them just for what it is, and not solely for what they can do for others. The passage that we use for our reading today is from a conversation that sibling Dex and Mosscap had when they reached this abandoned monastery. In this moment of finally reaching this goal, Dex shares deep truths about the existential distress they had been feeling along the way. Here they have gotten to where they wanted to go, but still the questions linger. What is my purpose? Am I doing enough? Why isn't this enough? Mosscap's wisdom is one of a wild build, one who has spent their whole existence with nature. In nature, things simply are without the stress of purpose. As Mosscap said to sibling Dex, "You keep asking why your work is not enough, and I don't know how to answer that, because it is enough to exist in the world and simply marvel at it. You are allowed to just live." When I read this passage, it was quite literally life-changing for me. I was laying on my couch after surgery, unable to work for 5 weeks with limited mobility. I needed to spend my time being and not doing, which was a lot harder for me than I imagined, though was not surprising to anyone who knew me. I picked up that book at a time when I coincidentally was really struggling with the feelings of, you know, not being able to do anything. Just thinking to myself, who or what am I without what I create in the world? I bristled at the thought of not having a purpose when I read that, especially in a job filled with such value-driven work. However, hearing Mosscap's quote literally lifted a self-imposed weight off of my shoulders. Why did I feel that not just being alive was enough? Why do I need to put so much pressure on myself? I mean, in healing my body, I was experiencing fully that feeling of being a living animal. My body was changing and growing. I mean, instead of watching stalagmites like Moss Cap's robot friend, I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race and reading books. And that was all just fine. It was not that I was not living up to a purpose or that I was falling short of some goal set outside myself. Purpose is something that I could find in the moment. I am not seeking my purpose. I am not producing my purpose. I am fulfilling my purpose by simply being here in the present. The self-care and self-love of resting, of letting us just be, is liberating. You are enough just as you are. We all are. If there is any purpose that we have on this earth, we are fulfilling it by simply being here another day. There will be days when we are changing our corner of the world, and then there will be others where just simply getting out of bed and living another day is enough. And it is not only enough just to be here and alive, but it is worth celebrating, for it is in the rest for rest's sake that we thrive, we imagine, we dream, we heal. This is what a Nat Bishop, a tea monk, and a robot have to teach us about rest. So I say these words of wisdom from today's teachers to you, all of you here in the sanctuary, you online with us today, you person who is listening to this recording sometime in the unknown future, and yes, you right now, you count. It is enough for you to exist in the world and simply marvel at it. You are allowed to just live. You are enough. Your dreams are enough. You are allowed to rest. One of the things I love most about being a part of this community here at Reef is how much the people here care about each other and this church. How much we care about social justice and making the world a better place, both within and outside of these walls. And while it may seem counterintuitive during a busy time, giving ourselves as individuals the time to rest is an important form of liberating love. Love for the self, love for our church, and love for the greater world. We can only make a better world if we give ourselves the space to dream it up first. When I read about Sibling Dex and Moss Cap, I found the dichotomy of these two characters so fascinating. I mean, on one hand, you have Moss Cap, wild built, but from the parts of robots who are designed to create, embodying stillness and rest. And you have Dex, a human animal whose purpose is to simply be embodying work and service. But together, they teach each other about the purpose of community and friendship. I'll leave you today with one last vignette from our monk and robot. After Dex and Moss Cap climbed up a mountainside to get to the monastery, they spent the night in a cave. After a full day of climbing in the rain, Dex was cold and tired and scared. This was not how they envisioned this journey going, and the closer they got to this monastery, the more Dex was filled with the existential dread they were trying to avoid. Neither Moss Cap or Dex knew how to make a fire, but Moss Cap could turn on the lights in its fingertips to provide a small glow in the cave. "I'm not warm, but would you feel better if we sat closer together?" Moss Cap offered. Dex nodded, and they scooted a little closer to Moss Cap. "Do robots hold hands? Is that a thing for you?" Dex asked. Moss Cap shook its head. "It's not, but I'd very much like to try." And so together, they held hands, the little lights causing Dex's hand to glow too. A shared light from the hands of a monk and a robot illuminated the room as they rested together.